This is a Defocus Media production.
Welcome to Vision Tech, the technology podcast dedicated to keeping you on top of the latest developments in eye care technology and discussing how they will impact your career and help you provide the best possible care to your patients. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vision Tech. Today's discussion is on the latest technology for fitting scleral contact lenses. I'm joined today by none other than Dr. Melissa Barnett. Dr. Barnett is the principal optometrist at the University of California Davis Eye Center in Sacramento, California. She's an internationally recognized key opinion leader in anterior segment disease and specialty contact lenses. Dr. Barnett is a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry, as well as the British Contact Lens Association. She also serves on the board of the American Optometric Association Cornea and Contact Lens Council. Dr. Barnett is a member of the Gaspar-Mabel Lens Institute, the Ocular Surface Society of Optometry, and is past president of the Scleral Lens Education Society. Dr. Barnett is co-editor of the book Contemporary Scleral Lenses, Theory and Application, which features unique perspectives and contributions from scleral lens experts from all over the world. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Barnett. Can you start by sharing with our listeners how you became involved in fitting scleral contact lenses and how important you feel this eye care specialty is?
Yes. So I got into scleral lenses years and years ago because I work in an ophthalmology department with three corneal specialists, and we have a lot of referrals who need specialty lenses. And even growing up, actually, I wore contact lenses, Gaspar-Mabel contact lenses, and was really interested in contact lens fitting in optometry school. And then once I started practicing, medical optometry, so really more into glaucoma. However, when I joined UC Davis about 13 years ago, that's when I started getting into specialty contact lens fitting. So scleral lenses are life-changing devices. They can completely change someone's world. So for example, teenage child with keratoconus who's wondering if they should attend school or get a job but cannot see to work or function, scleral lenses are extremely helpful. Of course, I first like talking about corneal cross-linking with someone with keratoconus, but those with ocular surface disease, especially advanced ocular surface disease like graft versus host disease or Steven-Johnson syndrome or Sjögren's syndrome, scleral lenses are completely life-changing. Now, as you probably know, there are multiple studies that look at dry eye and how it affects the quality of life and how scleral lenses can also improve the quality of life in all of these patients. So it is rewarding on a daily basis working with specialty lenses, including scleral lenses, to help improve the lives of my patients.
That's fantastic. You mentioned keratoconus as being a condition where scleral lenses can offer a lot of benefit, as well as ocular surface disease. Can you run us through a list of some of the common conditions that you find scleral lenses to be a good application for correcting vision and also increasing patient comfort?
Yes. So there are different groups and some overlap. So for example, a patient with an irregular cornea might have ocular surface disease as well. But any corneal ectasia, for example, the primary corneal ectasias like keratoconus, especially the moderate to severe keratoconus or keratoglobus, just steepening of the entire cornea, pellucid marginal degeneration, any patient who's had refractive surgery with ectasia afterwards, so those who've had LASIK or PRK or RK or any sort of irregular corneal contours, someone who's had a corneal scar or trauma and then a scar after. Corneal transplants is a very large indication for scleral lenses, and I see a lot of those patients in my practice. Anyone who has a peripheral degeneration like Salzmann's nodular degeneration or Terrien's, and then we have all the ocular surface disorders. So the severe dry eye, the graft versus host disease, Sjögren's, rheumatoid arthritis, Steven-Johnson, the neurotrophic dry eye, scleral lenses can be very beneficial. But now scleral lenses are being used for normal corneas as well. So those with refractive error, myopia, hyperopia, astigmatism, presbyopia, There are also multifocal scleral lenses, and there are many new designs that have been introduced in the last few years for scleral lenses for normal corneas or healthy eyes.
So with specialty lenses, specialty is a key term there because it takes special expertise and special training in order to fit some of these lenses. You know, it occurred to me that from the conferences that I have attended that even the experts really feel that there is a continual learning process and that they still come across patients who are challenging to fit, which, you know, makes me think that as a beginning contact lens fitter interested in getting into contact lenses and sclerals, that you're going to run into some challenges there. And I'd like to kind of get your perspective on what you feel some of the challenges are to a new fitter and even to an experienced fitter that some of our listeners can expect. And then we'll be talking a little bit further about how we can approach some of those.
Yes. Well, there's a lot that we don't know about scleral lenses, and I'll put that out there. You know, there's a lot we do know and there's a lot we don't know, and a lot of research that needs to be done in this area and in the whole specialty contact lens area, I should say, in general, not just scleral lenses. And yes, you know, these patients can be challenging. However, even for the novice fitter, I think it is a wonderful modality to get into. And also, not every single person needs to fit scleral lenses. I do believe that everyone needs to know the indications of scleral lens use and the ones that I just went over. But not every single person in their practice needs to incorporate this technology. However, they do need to have people to refer to. But there can be many different challenges with scleral lens fitting. On this podcast, it's probably impossible to go over all of them. But a very helpful resource is Chapter 12, Scleral Lens Complications and Problem Solving in Contemporary Scleral Lenses Theory and Application. But a key point with scleral lenses is that they should not touch the cornea at all. There should be space between the back surface of the scleral lens and the front surface of the cornea. So there should not be any touch. Other issues that can come up are fogging of the lens. So either in the post lens tear reservoir and that fluid space behind the lens or on the anterior surface of the lens, we get concerned about corneal hypoxia, conjunctival hyperemia, excessive impingement or blanching or whitening on the conjunctiva and the landing zone as well of the conjunctiva. And also looking at vision and comfort and solutions. And again, there are many things that can happen with a scleral lens fit, and these are just a few of them. But the key point is that the scleral lens should land exclusively on the scleral conjunctiva, involve the cornea, and also the limbus.
So essentially, we're looking at some of the typical things that may come up in soft contact lens fit as far as comfort, vision, solutions, but then we're adding this whole other layer because we have a rigid lens now that we're working with, and we have to make sure that the relationship of that lens to the cornea and also to the sclera, since the lens is landing in the sclera, is definitely taking into account. Would you say that that's a pretty good kind of start into understanding some of the main differences between some of the soft lenses that we all fit and then transitioning over to specialty lenses?
Yes, I do agree. And we know that the sclera is not spherical, but it's non-rotationally symmetrical. So it has an irregular shape, and that's what makes it so unique. So when fitting a soft lens, it can kind of drape over that irregularity. But with a scleral lens, which is made of a gas permeable material, it does need to align evenly. And interestingly enough, when you use height terminology, the nasal side of the sclera is more elevated than the temporal side. But then the sagittal height, looking at the nasal side, is actually lower than the sagittal height on the temporal side. So there was a study that came out last year, 2017, and this was from the Scleral Shape Study Group that looked at 152 eyes using scleral topography. And they actually mapped out the scleral shape using this technology. And only 5.7% of the eyes were spherical, and 40% had asymmetrical high points or elevations or asymmetrical low points, and 26% had a recognizable toric pattern. So as we'll talk about in a minute, there are new scleral lens designs that have come out that incorporate this toricity, this back surface toricity, not a front surface toricity, like a front toric, but we're talking about the back of the lens to more evenly align with the scleral conjunctiva. And we don't want a scleral lens that is too tight at all, because the force of the scleral landing zone can cause an indentation or an impression ring on the conjunctiva. And you can see this. I like to actually look at the patient outside of the slit lamp, just look at them and look at their eye and see if there's any whitening or blanching out there. But you can also use the slit lamp. You can use different technologies that we're going to talk about to look for this area. But it's really important in general when fitting scleral lenses to remove the lens, stain the cornea and conjunctiva, and take a look with both fluorescein or listening green and see if you see any staining. So ideally, we would not see any staining at all, and we of the cornea or conjunctiva. However, if the lens is tight and impinging, it could cause staining and also cause nodules and hypertrophy of the conjunctiva. So these are things that we really don't want at all. So this is an exciting time, I should say, also in looking at scleral topography, because there's a lot of new information in the last few years that we didn't know about prior to the introduction of this technology.
Yes, that's definitely very exciting and, you know, surprising to many of us to learn that scleral toricity is actually that common. So let's dive into the tech a little bit and learn about some of the technologies that we have to image some of these unique anatomical features for our patients, and also the technologies that are available to compensate for them and provide a unique fit to the patients that have either toric scleras or other considerations that also need to be incorporated in scleral lenses. So can you take us through some of the main technologies that are used today in scleral lens fitting?
Right. So scleral topography, also known as scleral profilers, there are two companies available right now that image both the cornea and the sclera, and they give information about the depth and shape of the cornea as well as the shape of the sclera, and if toricity is needed in the landing zone. And they're the most recent technologies to aid in scleral lenses. However, unlike corneal topographers, the scleral topographers can image out to 22 millimeters rather than, say, a corneal topographer, which is 12 millimeters. And there are two models that are available, so that eye surface profiler, otherwise known as ESP, from Eaglet Eye, that's from the Netherlands, and the S-MAP 3D, from Precision Ocular Metrology, and that's distributed out of Visionary Optics in the US.
And differentiating the two technologies used there for scleral profiling, what do you think the main differences are between those two instruments?
One of the differences is how the image is taken. So the ESP is taken with the patient looking in primary gaze, and the toricity in the landing zone is derived not just from the scleral shape alone, but also the total sag of each of the major meridians of the eye. The SMAP 3D is based on direct triangulation, so the patient actually looks in multiple directions of gaze, primary gaze, superior, and inferior, and then software stitches the images together to generate the data. And the lens design software then determines the amount of scleral toricity and integrates the information, and then a lens can be ordered. Both technologies are fluorescein-based, and they project patterns on the ocular surface, and they both are very precise, so they can get extremely precise measurements. So as you might be able to tell, I think both are fantastic, and I would love to have both of them and work with both of them, and I think that the information that these companies are gathering are really advancing the future of scleral lens technology.
So now after we've went about gathering all this information about the scleral profile, how are we able to incorporate that into a lens that we order for a patient?
So there are many fitting sets that include toric lenses within their fitting set. I would recommend using a spherical lens within the fitting set with a known parameter such as diameter and sagittal depth, and then trying on a toric lens. However, there are fitting sets that include back surface toricity within the fitting set. So one example is the Synergize VS, and the VS stands for Visser Scleral. So the Visser group in the Netherlands has been instrumental in much of this research about sclerotoricity. They've been publishing about it for years and years and years. And the VS lens, the Synergize VS lens, actually came out last year. So this incorporates a linear landing zone and back surface toricity. We know that the sclera in the paralimbal area is straight or linear, so it's not curved. And the way that this lens is designed, the landing zone aligns with the flatter, more linear sclera. But all of the lenses are toric in order to distribute pressure more evenly on the landing zone. So this specific lens, the toricity is in the landing area independent of the central portion of the lens. And their studies have demonstrated improved vision, improved comfort, all of the things that are beneficial with toric lenses. There are also other lenses that are available, such as the Boston Sight Scleral, and this was also recently introduced. This was based on the PROS data from the Boston Foundation for Sight, based on 6 years of data. The unique thing about this lens, it's quadrant specific, so you can adjust the toricity in all of the quadrants. There are also individual right and left lenses in the fitting set, the only one I know of, and three different diameters. And the other neat thing is that they include front surface eccentricity to correct for higher order aberrations. But I feel like I have to bring up this third option, which is iPrint Pro, which is an impression-based technology that makes a very unique and precise scleral lens that matches the exact contours of the individual eye. The process is done in the office. No anesthetic is used. It takes about 2 minutes, and it makes a very, very precise lens. So for example, if there's a peripheral elevation on the conjunctiva, such as a glaucoma drainage device or a pterygium, this can evenly go over it. There are other ways of doing that too. We can notch or do a microvolt or peripheral elevation within another type of scleral lens, but the impression-based scleral lens technology can match it precisely.
So it seems like we're really potentially saving a lot of down-the-road problems by just starting with a profile of the sclera that really helps us get a good alignment between the lens and the sclera. Is that correct?
Yes. However, not many practices have these instruments at this time, but if we could get this information, yes, I definitely agree, it would save a lot of time in scleral lens fitting. There is a new technology that was just introduced last week, and that is the corneal scleral profile, and this is for the Pentacam. So this goes out to 18 millimeters, and it images both the cornea and sclera in different directions of gaze and can form a lens using software from this technology. So this is something that is really brand new. It was just introduced, but this could be one of the technologies that may be more easily accessible for people.
Well, that's really great to know about, because I know that particular instrument is fairly widely used, different modalities of practice. So whether in ophthalmology and used for evaluations before laser procedures or and optometric practices that deal a lot with patients with keratoconus, as well as just general practices now are really understanding the value of corneal tomography. So this could be really an added benefit for those practices to be able to really get started on a good foot with scleral lens fitting.
Yes, I think this is really exciting. This technology is great to diagnose early keratoconus, get a view of the posterior cornea as well as the anterior cornea, but the ability to design a lens virtually is pretty exciting.
Earlier, we touched on the importance of vaulting the cornea and making sure that the scleral lens does not contact the cornea at any point. Are there some technologies that can help us ensure that that's happening? And what are some ways that we need to consider evaluating patients immediately after fitting the lens and potentially after some time after the lens has been on the eye? What's your approach to that?
Sure. So, you know, there's always the basic technology, and that's the slit lamp, which is still very helpful when working with scleral lenses. So there are fit scales that you can use if you're new to scleral lenses to be able to visualize the amount of vault in the post-lens tear reservoir. But anterior segment OCT can also be really helpful to precisely measure the post-lens to your reservoir thickness. So scleral lenses do settle. They do settle into the scleral conjunctiva. So it is really important to evaluate them about 20 to 30 minutes after the lens is put on. Different studies have pretty different values on how much scleral lenses settle, but in general, they do tend to settle. So allowing them to settle prior to taking an anterior segment OCT measurement is helpful. But you can use the distance between two surfaces using a caliper tool, and it is helpful to see what that thickness is. Now, you do need to keep in mind, too, the condition that the patient has, because it could be quite different in someone with keratoconus, for example, with a really steep area on the cornea versus severe ocular surface disease, where the vault could be pretty uniform over the entire cornea. It's also helpful, anterior segment OCT is also helpful to evaluate the periphery of the lens and how the lens lands onto the scleral conjunctiva as well.
I always love it when you can get multiple uses out of a single instrument. So, you know, a lot of the practices that do have access to OCT for posterior segment use sometimes will have an anterior segment attachment for that device. And there you have two different points in scleral lens fitting that you can use that lens in assessing vault and then also landing. So, definitely a great opportunity to integrate that type of use of OCT in practices that are already existing, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. You know, in my practice and other practices that I visit, most definitely. Just a recent situation, I was in a practice and we were talking about scleral lenses and the patient had macular edema. So this just brings up a key point. You know, when we're fitting specialty lenses, it's not just the eye. Of course, it's the whole systemic state, and it's also the back of the eye. So whether the patient is having their dilated exam with you or elsewhere, as long as they're taken care of, that's really the most important thing. But yes, I use the OCT in my practice often, and I find that it's really helpful. But I agree, it's wonderful when one technology can do multiple things and help in your practice.
So that's a very interesting point that I'm noticing here, is that we really would benefit from having different tools at our disposal to be able to accommodate some of the different presentations. And you mentioned a few different fitting sets there. Would you mind walking us through your thought process for a new doctor looking to fit specialty scleral lenses about what to look for in acquiring a fitting set?
Yes. So there are many excellent companies out there that manufacture scleral lenses at this time. And really the technology that we have, the scleral lens technology that we have now, is so much better than it was 10 years ago. So there are many different fitting sets. And when I give workshops or lectures, it's probably the most common question is which one to go for. So one way of doing that is if you have a relationship with a company that you work with already, say you do other types of contact lenses with them, gas permeable lenses or hybrid lenses, and you have a relationship and you know the people and the consultants real well, you could go with them. It's always really nice to have a fitting set that incorporates many things within that fitting set. So whether it's different diameters within the fitting set, whether it's the option of toricity or higher order aberration or multifocal. So really looking at your practice and your patients and seeing what's the majority of the patients, you know, what sort of conditions are you fitting most for ocular surface disease or corneal irregularities, or are they normal corneas? That's going to guide you which company to go with and what fitting set. And then I would start with one or two fitting sets. And if you don't know sort of which diameter, I would start in the 16 to 17 millimeter range, because that's really going to help with the majority of your patients. And then once you find, you know, with this one fitting set that there's something else that you're looking for that you want, whether it's tangible hydropeg, which is surface coating on the lens, or whether it's a multifocal, whatever it is, then you can get another fitting set. But I would encourage you just to do one or two, use one or two fitting sets to start and become really comfortable with them and really comfortable with the consultants who are pretty fantastic across the board for all of these companies. And then once you want to build upon that, you kind of know what you're looking for after that point.
So Dr. Barnett, we've discussed several diagnostic technologies that are used prior to putting a lens on the eye to really help us cut a lot of the potential obstacles that may arise later. Of these, which ones would you prioritize as far as incorporating? Because we can't always go out and get everything at one time, but in your mind, what would be some of the worthwhile ones to get first, and then which ones would you add as you're able to?
I always say that if you're on a desert island with your slit lamp, because, you know, slit lamps are on the desert island too, and you have a patient and a scleral lens, just put the lens on the eye and then use your slit lamp to see. So you don't need to have all this fancy technology in order to fit scleral lenses. However, it makes it a lot easier and faster when fitting. So it's nice to have some sort of image of the cornea. So whether that's a corneal topography or a Schleimflug tomography, that would be, I think, the first thing that would be really helpful. Now, of course, we know scleral lenses are not based on corneal curvature, they're based on sagittal depth, but it's quite useful to know where there's an elevation, especially in patients with keratoconus or peripheral nodules like in Salzmann's nodular degeneration. To know exactly how high those are is helpful. Scleral topography, I believe that's the future. That's, you know, ideal for fitting scleral lenses and hopefully getting to the point where it's more accessible and more people can have it. Anterior segment OCT is quite helpful, and many doctors actually have it now, have an OCT. So utilizing the anterior segment module of the OCT is wonderful. And then just less pricey are getting different fitting sets and utilizing impression-based technology in your practice as well. So I know I didn't answer that question completely, but I think that the future is going to help us with future technologies, and what's available in one instrument might do most of the things that you need for fitting scleral lenses.
That's fantastic. You actually answered it in a better way than I could have imagined, because not only do we know some of the key technologies that we can kind of look to prioritize today, but you actually gave us a bigger kind of picture view of approaching it from the perspective of looking for the technologies that are going to be able to do more than one thing, because instruments are always going to change. There's always going to be new introductions. But I think if you have that approach of understanding how many things you can do with one piece of equipment, you can probably understand what you're getting from that piece of equipment relative to whatever else is available at that time. Dr. Barnett, what are some possible challenges that may arise after we've achieved a good fit that vaults the cornea, has a good fitting relationship with the sclera? Are there some things that can be challenging as far as getting good vision or sometimes maintaining good vision with the lens?
Yes. So assuming that you have an ideal fitting relationship, the scleral lens fits perfectly, handling is good. Handling is actually the number one complication with scleral lenses. So we like to go over application and removal often with patients, but there can be debris in the post-lens tear reservoir or deposits that form on the surface of the lens. So let's just focus on the surface of the lens today, but many of these things can help also with the post-lens tear reservoir debris. So sometimes debris can build up on the surface, so it can be all sorts of things. It could be makeup on the surface of the lens. It could be debris that comes from the meibomian glands on the surface of the lens, and it can be really frustrating for the patient because it affects their vision and also the comfort of the lens. So it is important to make sure that you're addressing any sort of meibomian gland dysfunction, making sure that the eyelids are nice and clean, recommending eyelid cleaners or warm compresses, drops, oral antibiotics, omega-3s, you know, sort of to your your maximum level on treating the meibomian gland dysfunction. But other things that you could do are having patients wash their hands, not using soaps with any lotions at all. And makeup is really important for all contact lens wearers, talking to them about makeup and face lotions. So make sure that they're applying their lenses first and then applying the lotion and makeup afterwards. And then also for contact lens removal and scleral lens removal, removing the lenses and then removing makeup.
So thank you for bringing that up. That's a really important piece because for patients, many of them, this might be a new experience for them where they've never handled a specialty lens. And it's a pretty rigid process, really, if you want to make sure that you get it correctly. So I'm really glad that you covered the patient education aspect there. And I'm wondering also, have you had patients where you really went over this several times? You feel like they get it, that they're doing everything correctly, but then you're still getting these mysterious deposits on the lens? And is there a way to address some of those kind of more stubborn cases? Or do you feel like the vast majority of it can be solved by patient education only?
Great question. There are many tools that we have used over the past 10 years or so. One of my favorites is hydrogen peroxide based systems for scleral lenses as well. It tends to really clean the lenses very well, easy for the patient. They don't have to touch or rub the lens. We would also have patients remove the lens, clean it, reapply it, but that can be really time consuming and inconvenient. Another option is cleaning the lens on the eye, so using a wet cotton swab or eyeshadow applicator or a wet DMV, like a squeegee motion on the surface of the lens at the lens on eye. You can also do this when you're fitting the lens to just kind of clear up that front surface, which will help make it easier to get an over-refraction. Of course, you can use preservative-free artificial tears over a scleral lens, but really the most exciting thing in the last year is a new treatment, which is tangible hydropegs. So that's a 90% water peg-based polymer mixture that's permanently bonded to the surface of the lens, and it's made from polyethylene glycol. So this can actually be used on any sort of contact lens, whether it be soft or gas permeable or scleral. But what it does is it encapsulates the lens and creates a mucin-like wetting surface, and it shields the lens from the ocular surface and tear film. So for all these years and all these patients where they had this front surface debris issue, it's been an excellent problem solver and has helped in so many of these cases. So there have been multiple studies out there. Patients prefer this lens. The lens are more wettable. They are also a little bit more slippery. So it is important to educate patients that they can be a little bit more slippery and to have caution basically when handling them. It's also important to go over solutions that are used. So it is important for all contact lens wearers not to use tap water with their lenses because of the risk for bacteria and acanthamoeba. But with tangible hydropeg, tap water is actually abrasive and it can take off the coating. It's also important not to use abrasive cleaners like a gas permeable cleaner, nor an alcohol-based solution. So those are things that we use fairly commonly for lenses without tangible hydropeg, but lenses with hydropeg are cleaned with a multipurpose or peroxide-based solution. So these are kind of easy options. And a lot of my patients feel like they need to do more, but they actually need to do less when they have the coating. And it's really helpful and beneficial for the patients.
I love solutions that can help you just avoid problems before they start. So it seems that, you know, we were discussing a few things earlier. We talked about contact lenses that incorporate scleral toricity. So you're not dealing with as many issues there. Here, we're talking about treatments that can actually help you avoid the buildup on the lens. So you're not having to kind of exhaustively go through all these different troubleshooting steps. So I can imagine that this really makes a big difference for the patient experience, and then also for you as the doctor, saving your chair time and being able to get to a successful fitting more quickly.
I completely agree. And not only does it save time, but it also saves money for both the patient and the practitioner when you can find a solution faster.
Dr. Barnett, I'd love to get your take on how the new tangible hydropeg treatment actually compares to previously popular treatments like plasma treatments on lenses, and kind of comparing and contrasting those.
Sure. So hydropeg is a very unique treatment. So plasma treatment is where a finished contact lens is bombarded with high energy radio waves in an oxygen rich environment. So that gas permeable lens surface undergoes radio frequency ionized oxygen that make hydrophobic surfaces more hydrophilic. And so then the lens surface becomes ionized, increasing its ability to attract liquids. And plasma treatment has been helpful. So it does improve the wetting angle It improves surface tension. There are fewer lipids, proteins, and bacteria deposits. However, tangible HydraPEG makes the surface much more slippery and smooth and reduces debris and deposits on the lens. So looking at, say, protein deposits and lipid deposits, it reduces them even more so than plasma treatment. Looking at fogging, it reduces it significantly. As far as end-of-day comfort, tangible HydraPEG improves end-of-day comfort and patient preference much more. So with my, I've still fit a lot of corneal gas permeable lenses and, you know, scleral lenses before we had HydraPEG, I always would ask for plasma. But now that we have tangible HydraPEG, it's an even better solution, I would say, for our patients. And I've had a lot of success on my corneal gas permeable lens patients as well with this technology.
That's really great to know. And even though we really focus on scleral lenses for this podcast, you know, some of the same principles for some of the diagnostic modalities, and even now talking about lens treatment, some of these can be really applied to different types of specialty lenses. And I would love to have you back to discuss some of those in the future as well.
I would love to come back. Thank you.
I would love to get a few takeaways that you'd like to have our listeners leave the podcast with regarding the role of technology in scleral lens fitting and what they can expect to even see in the near future as well.
Right. So this is an exciting time of scleral lenses. It's a very exciting time of technology for scleral lenses. I think a takeaway is technology is wonderful when fitting scleral lenses. If you're wondering what technology that you might want to incorporate into your practice, just be on the lookout, because we're at an exciting time where there are going to be multiple new technologies where they can do all in one system or most things in one system that can help you. And if you're interested in scleral lens technology, I would encourage you to become a member of the Scleral Lens Society. If you're interested in scleral lenses, definitely a fellow. And yes, I am a past president of the Scleral Lens Society, but also attend specialty lens meetings. So the Global Specialty Lens Symposium, which is in January in Las Vegas, is a great one for all things specialty lens. The Global Forum for Specialty Lens Research is a new time. So this was previously in Houston in December, but this will be the Sunday after GSLS in Las Vegas. The ICSC meeting in Florida is all about scleral lenses in July, and also Vision by Design that just occurred. So there are many meetings that focus on specialty lenses. If you're interested specifically in scleral lenses, we have workshops coming up at Optometry's Meeting Academy and Vision Expo West. So again, this is a great, exciting time of scleral lenses, such an exciting time of scleral lens technology. And at these meetings and at the workshops, we do have individual technologies that are highlighted there.
That's really great to know, and especially having conferences available year round, it makes it more accessible. And it seems like especially a good time because, as you mentioned, there are some new technologies that are going to be coming out. So, you know, I'm assuming that there's going to be a lot of content about how to use them and different ways you can make the fitting process even more simplified by having to order less lenses, having less patient visits. So it seems to be a really good time to get into specialty lenses.
I definitely agree.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Barnett. We really appreciate your time. And I see so many insights here that our listeners can take back into their practice and really position themselves to be better fitters. I would love to give you an opportunity to share with our listeners how they can connect with you online, how they can continue to maybe have a conversation with you about some of the things that we've covered today. And I'd love to learn about where you're going to be in the coming year as far as different conferences, workshops, and would you mind kind of giving us an overview of where some of our listeners can catch you in person?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I love speaking about scleral lenses, and thank you so much for the invitation. It's been wonderful. On LinkedIn, it's Melissa Barnett, and Twitter, it's Dr. Barnett 1, and class symposium is coming up in a few weeks. That's in Bogota, Colombia, and really great turnout. This is the first year for that. I will be at the Midwest Ocular Surface Disease Symposium in June, Optometry's Meeting in Denver in June, where we'll have a few scleral lens workshops. China, would love to have you all come to China for a week in July. Vision Expo West in September. East West in Ohio in October, an Academy in November, and the Global Specialty Lens Symposium in January. And thank you all for listening, and I look forward to our next podcast.
Thank you very much, Dr. Barnett. We'll look to have you back soon.